The Columbia Orchestra is gearing up for the upcoming fall season.
Sometimes you have a really great orchestra and a really great conductor, but they don't gel at all. And this felt like a really great match.
The Community Action Council invites you to celebrate Vivienne Bailey at the upcoming Holland Awards dinner.
One of the ways that she's most closely tied with our program is that she established a fund in the 80s to provide housing assistance for those in need. And so that fund has helped more than 120 families since it launched in the 1980s.
These stories coming up in today's HOKA Journal starting right now. Hi, and welcome to HOKA Journal, the show where we highlight the unique and interesting people, businesses, and events happening right here in Howard County. I am your host, Cris Oviedo. President Ronald Reagan once said, "We can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone." And with that spirit in mind, the Community Action Council in Howard County not only looks to help everyone, but also offers opportunities for everyone to help. And to talk more about these opportunities and the upcoming opportunity to celebrate those helping out, sitting in studio with me today is Jen Gribb. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
And she's the Director of Resource Development at the Community Action Council here in Howard County. She's becoming a friend of our show. It's her second time coming into our studio. So I appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us about some of the wonderful things that you guys are doing at the Community Action Council. And I know that we want to talk about this one specific event that's coming up in October. But before we do that, can we just remind everybody real quick what the Community Action Council mission is?
Sure. So the Community Action Council serves more than 35,000 people every year in Howard County, and we do that through four core program areas. We provide food assistance, housing assistance, energy and weatherization assistance, and we also operate early childhood education programs. So what the public might be more familiar with are things like the Howard County Food Bank, which is part of our food assistance program, and then also Head Start, and we operate all of the Head Start programs in Howard County.
So there's a lot that the Howard County Community Action Council does, as you just mentioned, and you basically mentioned just two of the little things that you guys do. But then there's also things like the upcoming Holland Awards dinner. Can you tell us more about this event? What is this event all about?
Sure. So our Holland dinner is on Thursday, October 18th. It'll be held at Turf Valley Conference Center. And it's really two things. It's a celebration of community involvement. So this is our 23rd year of holding the dinner. And every year we recognize a member of the community who's really gone above and beyond to help residents in need in Howard County. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of our first focus, is to celebrate that, because the work that we do would not be possible without gifts and dedication of amazing people in this community. And then, of course, it's also a fundraiser for our organization. And so it provides the means necessary for us to operate our food assistance, energy, housing, and early childhood education programs.
So you guys are celebrating people who are helping. What categories, if we can call them categories, or what are the things that you guys are looking for in the person, or how do you guys select who is the recipient of this award?
You know, that is a really good question. And I think that we are in a unique position in that there are so many people who take a tremendous amount of time to give back to this community that we do have an amazing pool to pick from. And every year it's a hard choice to kind of think through, you know, who will it be this year? We try to tie it in with what's going on in our organization programmatically. And so last year we recognized two individuals, actually. We recognized our county exec, Ellen Kittleman, and we also recognize Senator Guy Gazzone. They both were incredibly important in purchasing the space that is our new Howard County Food Bank. And so really last year we were highlighting the growth of our food bank, this beautiful new building that gives us the capacity to serve even more people. And then of course the two people who were instrumental in that. This year we'll be honoring Miss Vivienne Bailey, who I know is really, I think, a legend in so many ways in Howard County. And she has done so much with her life. But one of the ways that she's most closely tied with our program is that she established a fund in the 80s to provide housing assistance for those in need. And so that fund has helped more than 120 families since it launched in the 1980s. And that's really incredible. And right now, you know, we're looking at potential funding cuts in the housing arena. And so it's really important to us this year to recognize someone who's not only a prominent figure in the community, but someone who's contributed so much much to helping to make sure families stay stable.
So can you tell us more a little bit about her program? Is it something that it's run through the Community Action Council? Is it something that works, separate from the Community Action Council? Just tell us a little more information, sure. Because that sounds like a wonderful program. And I know that in this market, there's a lot of people who still need that type of assistance.
Absolutely. So in the 1980s, Vivian Bailey established this fund in honor of her late husband. And so basically the way that works is that she contributes financially to this, and then other friends of hers will give to our organization as well. And then the Community Action Council uses that fund to help people in need of housing assistance who may not fall into, you know, other program areas that we have or where there might not already be funding. And so it's really supporting the work that we're already doing in housing. But Community Action Council is really the operator and administrator, and Ms. Bailey has entrusted us to make sure that those funds are used well.
So you guys kind of tie the recipient of the award with what you guys are focusing on. So are you guys specifically focusing on housing this year, or, you know, why did you choose somebody from housing?
Well, I think that it's an area where there have been some funding changes. And really, when you're looking at people who are in need, housing is a core area of importance. When a family is at risk for homelessness or for losing their home, that means that they're at risk for losing other areas in their life as well, and really becoming unstable. And so when we think about, you know, where it's really critical to make sure we're providing assistance, housing is one of those areas.
It's great to highlight that people around our community help, and how beautiful it is that you guys see all the work and all the effort and all the time that these people are putting forth in order to help others completely selflessly. You know, they're not looking for that recognition. They're not looking for trophies. This is something that is just in their hearts, and they just want to help others out. And how nice it is that you guys take the time to say, well, we have all of these people and we would love to recognize absolutely each one of them, but let's at least focus on one for this year and thank them. Thank them for all of that they're doing. So let's talk about ways that people can get involved and help out the community just in general.
There are so many ways. And I think that you bring up a really good point, because someone might think, well, I might not have finances to give, and or I'm really limited in what I'm able to do. But really, I think one of the beautiful things about the work that we're doing and how expansive it is that there are many, many ways for people to be involved. And so, of course, if someone is interested in making a monetary donation, that's always needed in order to support our programs or enable us to purchase food for our food bank or support our students in our Head Start programming. But individuals can also give of their time. There's so many volunteer opportunities within the Community Action Council, and we welcome both groups of people and also individuals, you know, especially at our food bank, helping to sort through donations and stock shelves. And we also operate a community garden, and of course that's seasonal, so that's winding down a little bit right now, but there are always opportunities for people to help plant and harvest and maintain that garden. And for anyone who may not have the time to give in that capacity, it could be as simple as just following our organization on Facebook or Twitter and sharing the information that we're posting out there. I think that a lot of people are surprised to find out that there are a large amount of people in Howard County that really struggle to make ends meet. And so, you know, we work hard to get that message out and to educate the community that this is real. Things like that, sharing the message, holding a food drive. Sometimes we'll have people who give up maybe their daily cup of coffee and give that money into the organization. There are so many ways to support, and it's really one of my favorite parts of my job is to help people get creative in that and to figure out how they can really give of what they have.
There's opportunities for everybody. Let's just remind everybody where they can go and find that information about the volunteer opportunities, or where they can call and just talk to somebody about how to get involved.
The best way to do that would be to check out our website, which is cac-hc.org.
So let's go back to the Holland Awards dinner. These awards were first introduced in honor of a particular person. So can you tell us a little more about how they got started?
Yeah, so Reverend Holland was a member of CAC's board for 17 years and really just instrumental in the community in so many ways. I know that CAC board members and staff members at that time, when they were thinking about a way of honoring that legacy, thought that coming up with this dinner would be a beautiful way to do that and give us an opportunity from then on out to really honor a member of the community who has played a tremendous role in the work that we do.
So about the event itself. Tell us more about what people can expect when they come to this event on October the 18th.
It's going to be so much fun. It's really one of my favorite things every year. We typically see about 450 attendees, and we all gather at Turf Valley. It's great. It's great. It's a beautiful, beautiful celebration. And this year, the full event will kick off at 6 o'clock with about 45 minutes of kind of networking and mingling, and then we'll launch our program. And so what that program looks like are members of CAC staff and board, you know, speaking about our programs and what we've done this year to our guests. And then we have an opportunity, of course, to bring Miss Vivian Bailey up on stage and to allow her to talk about kind of her perspective on her life and what she's given to Howard County. And this year we have a truly fantastic keynote speaker. Author Chimamanda Adichie will be gracing us with her presence as our keynote. So she'll be part of the program as well.
So can you tell us a little more about your keynote speaker? Because I know you were telling me off air before we turned the microphones on that some of her work and some of the things that she's done. And I was fascinated by that.
Yeah. So she is, I think we were incredibly lucky to be able to have her as our keynote this year. So she is an award-winning author who has really come onto the scene with some innovative, beautiful work. She's originally from Nigeria, but she actually splits her time between Maryland and Nigeria. And truthfully, she lives in Howard County and spends half of her time in the year in Howard County. And so I think that many people may know her from her TED Talks. She gave a TED Talk called The Danger of a Single Story, which is one of the most viewed TED Talks of all times. You're nodding your head. Have you heard it?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I think about her work and I think about how that ties in with the Community Action Council, that TED Talk is really, for me, kind of the key connector, because in it she talks about the risk and the danger of only hearing one story and only hearing one mainstream story. And so when I think about that, I think about the reality that there are so many people who are impoverished in Howard County. And if you think about what most people think about when they think about Howard County, it's a county of affluence. But the reality is that there are many, many, many other stories to it. And there is a real danger to not giving those stories air and paying attention to the reality that's happening in our county. And so that's where I really see our tie-in with our keynote. And I had the opportunity to meet her and give her a tour of our program just a few weeks ago. And just, she's really an incredible person. And it was wonderful to show her our food bank and to show her our Head Start school. And it was just a great opportunity.
And she is an award-winning author. Can you tell us a little more about her book?
Sure. So right now, I'm reading through Americana, and we were talking about that a little bit before we went on air. It's just a beautiful story, and it's really a story, you know, the big picture is that it's this love story between two main characters, but what the book is really about is a real conversation on race and immigration, and it's so incredibly insightful to who we are as people. It's a beautiful cultural observation from someone who is not American to kind of look at who we are and how we interact and how we see people who may not look and talk like us.
So when people come on October 18th to Turf Valley at 6 p.m. for this event, they'll get to meet Vivian, they'll get to meet and hear speak Chimamanda. What else will happen on that evening? What else is in store for them?
So they'll get a wonderful introduction to the Community Action Council and all of the work that we do. And I think one of the things that I love the most about our Holland Dinner is that it's really a gathering of people who are instrumental to our program. People who throughout this year or years prior have taken time to support the work that we do. And to me, that's incredibly powerful. You're in a room with, you know, 400 people who have really given to make sure that your program is effective. It's a celebration and really an explanation into all of the work that we're doing. We will also, of course, have a testimonial from someone, you know, who was impacted by our program. And this year, it's a little bit different. We will have Frank Eastham, who is a former Head Start student, speak.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so it'll be, you know, someone who, coming from one of the programs that we operate, can really speak to the importance of early childhood education and how that can really change the trajectory of someone's life.
Absolutely. You also mentioned that this is a fundraiser for you guys. So tell us more about the opportunities that people have to help you. Is there a goal maybe that you guys have with the event that you need to reach or anything like that?
We always always have a goal in mind, and I'll say that we're getting close. We do have sponsorship opportunities available, and all of those are listed on our website. And we also have the opportunity for individuals to purchase a ticket. Tickets are $100 to the event. You can also reserve a table. Table is for 10 people, and that's $900. And all of that can be booked on our website.
Is there anything else that you want to tell everybody who's listening about the event or about the Community Action Council or about just helping out in general before we wrap our conversation up?
I think that the Holland Awards Dinner, as it's been in past years, will really be a fantastic, fun event. And I think for the caliber of speaker that we have gracing us, it's really an amazing opportunity for individuals in our community to get to hear someone who has really started to make a huge presence internationally, get an opportunity to hear her on a local level, and to learn everything that it is that we're doing in the community. So it'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, we're so grateful. This wouldn't be possible without the support of people in this community. So we're just incredibly grateful for that.
And yes, absolutely. Thank you to everybody who lives here in our county and works hard every day to make this an inclusive and welcoming place for everybody. For Hookah Journal, I'm Chris Oviedo, and we'll be right back.
Russell Wilson here. With Play 60, United Way, and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids!
To get involved, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Donate!
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course!
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
For Hookah Journal, I'm Alex Baker. The summer season is winding up, and fall is just around the corner. That means the Columbia Orchestra is ready to kick off their 41st season. Get ready for another season where the orchestra will provide the local community with high-quality musical performances. Returning on the show today to talk about the Columbia Orchestra is their conductor in his 20th season, Jason Love. Mr. Love, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be back.
This is the fourth year you've come on the show and talked about it. But for those who may not have listened to the previous three episodes, just tell us a little bit about what the Columbia Orchestra is.
Well, it's a real gem. The Columbia Orchestra is an all-volunteer community orchestra, which means that the members get together every Monday night to rehearse, and we give an array of concerts. And although the members themselves do other things as their day jobs, we have a whole wide array of jobs, from chemical engineers to mechanical engineers to electrical engineers. And it's even wider than that. Even though that's not what they do for their day job, they really were playing the same music that you would hear at a New York Philharmonic or a Chicago Symphony concert, and they play it really fantastically well. So it's a real exciting thing to have here in the community.
So I got a whole bunch of events I'm looking at right now, so we'll just dive right into it. The first one I've noticed is Beethoven's Eroica on October 6th. So tell us a little bit something about that.
So this is a great example of what the Columbia Orchestra does really well. I mean, the centerpiece of what we do is our classical music series. And I think part of the job of a great orchestra is to give live presentations, high quality presentations of like sort of the museum pieces that are famous, that are well regarded, that we know stand the test of time. And there isn't one better than the Beethoven's Eroica symphony. It's called the Eroica because he originally was dedicating it to Napoleon, and then when Napoleon declared himself emperor, he tore the first page of the music, erasing his name so energetically. But it is about heroism, and it is about great deeds and a life well lived, but it's a very diverse piece, and it really was so revolutionary in the way it was composed. It changed the way people wrote music for the next three or four generations. Paired with that, not only do they have the Brahms Academic Festival Overture, which is another great masterpiece, museum piece, we're doing a piece by Witold Ludosławski, who is a Polish composer, and is a sort of an avant-garde work. And it's, again, one of those things that it's not typical to hear, not only from a community orchestra, but even from sort of a local professional symphony orchestra. Ordinarily, that's music that you go to hear if you live in L.A. or if you live in San Francisco or if you live in Boston, right by Boston Symphony. So we're really proud. And Robert Cantrell, this marvelous singer, is coming to do it. He's a great guy from the Washington Opera.
And then the next event I'm looking at is Visions of Home, and that is on December the 1st.
Since it's my 20th anniversary, there are several pieces that have particular connections for me. On that concert, again, we have two huge museum pieces. There's instrumental music from Strauss's great opera, The Rosenkavalier, The Cavalier of the Rose, and it's an opera that's, 2.5 hours long. This is instrumental highlights, so it's a great sort of 20-minute overview, and it's really very exciting, as well as some very exciting pieces by Dvorak called Scherzo Capriccioso. Alongside that, those are two pieces that look very... Rosen Cavalier is very much about turn of the 18th century Vienna. This Dvorak is very much about his Czech homeland. And so I've paired it with two new pieces. One is by a Haitian-American composer, Daniel Bernard Romain. It's a piece called La 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 La. He is a phenomenal violinist, but it's influenced by hip-hop and dance music.
Interesting.
And it's quintessentially American, quintessentially metropolitan. And the flip side of that is I grew up in North Carolina in a small, relatively small town, and the North Carolina Symphony in those days was a traveling orchestra. They drove around to all the different orchestras in the state to bring culture, you know, to people that, you know, is not easy to get. This piece was written for the North Carolina Symphony. I like to include a lot of music by women composers because that's been neglected historically. Sarah Kirkland Snyder wrote this piece for the North Carolina Symphony, and based on her memories from childhood of going to visit her grandparents in Salisbury, North Carolina. And she collaborated with this marvelous filmmaker, Mark DiCiazza, who created a film that has sort of visions of home life in small town America. And we're very fortunate that the composer and the filmmaker will be there for the concert. So that's a particularly exciting one for us.
And then, you know, we're going moving into December. December 15th, just 10 days before Christmas, you have the family holiday concerts.
Yes, yeah, so that was our first time last year doing these. We do sort of two kids' concerts. In March, we'll be doing a kids' concert that's a sort of a straight ahead, playing great classical music, music from Scheherazade, which is, you know, a pirate and story-oriented princess, meaning Scheherazade, as well as music like Pirates of the Penzance. So last year, we decided to make a very family-friendly holiday concert. It was sold out very quickly, so now this year we're doing two on the same day. So they're geared to be a little bit like our youth concerts, that kids of any age can come, and they're very kid-friendly. But to be frank, a lot of adults come without kids, and it's just as fun because we do a lot of great holiday music. We're very fortunate to have our friends from Dance Connections who are going to be doing parts of the Nutcracker. And then we have just a ton of regular holiday music, but a diverse collection of holiday music.
And then moving past the holidays, on February 9th, you have the Maestro's anniversary. So I think this is all about you. So
yeah, this one's a big one for me. And one of the fun things is, I'm really looking forward to this concert because it closes with Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. And not only is that one of my very favorite pieces, it was the piece that I did on my very first concert with the Columbia Orchestra 20 years ago. So I thought that would be a nice milestone. And on the same concert, I'm also a cellist. So we've invited my friend Glenn Quater, who is years ago was an assistant conductor at the Columbia Orchestra, now is, of course, music director of several orchestras of his own. He's going to come and conduct, and I'm going to play the U.S. premiere of a new concerto by a French composer, Guillaume Conesson, whose music is fantastic and has gotten a lot of play in Europe, but not so much over here. So we're lucky, actually, this is going to be the premiere, and it's on the same concert with a piece by Joan Tower, one of her fanfares for The Uncommon Woman, which is, of course, a reference to Copland's fanfare for The Common Man.
Moving ahead to March, you have Young People Concert Pirates and Princesses, March 16th.
My philosophy with kids' concerts is, yes, they are kids, so you have to make it very interactive and friendly for that age. But if you want to get kids excited about great classical music, you have to play great classical music for them. So the centerpiece of that is Scheherazade, the great piece by Rimsky-Korsakov. We don't play it in its entirety, but we play, you know, it's almost like Bugs Bunny, the way they would slip in chunks of it without having to sit, you know, through an entire 40-minute piece as a kid. And we make it very user-friendly because we have our friends from Dance Connections who do sort of a ballet interpretation along with it. And we also have a phenomenal narrator whose name is Greg Jukes, who comes and does, you know, interactive stuff with the kids and does a piece called The Thrill of the Orchestra, which introduces the orchestra and its instruments to the kids before we do the big piece.
That's And then you got April 6th and 7th, the Symphonic Pops.
Yeah, so that's always a big favorite for us. We try to have a good mix of Broadway. In this case, I think we're doing Guys and Dolls, and then some newer stuff. Movie scores. We usually have several John Williams scores.
Right.
I think this time we're trying to do Last of the Mohicans if we can get
that's
the
a great one.
Music.
Love that one.
Yeah, and we have our friends from Teelan Irish Dance Company because it'll be right just after St. Patrick's Day. They're a great ensemble of dancers of all ages, and they come and do a couple of pieces with us, and we're figuring out just the right stuff. There'll be some Irish music and some surprising classical music. So it's a really eclectic mix of a lot of great stuff.
But last one coming up on the, I see on the schedule, is the Rite of Spring on May the 8th.
Yes, you know, originally when I was planning the season, I considered doing a piece called The Two Revolutions that would have been Beethoven's Eroica and Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, because just like Eroica, the Rite of Spring changed the way people wrote and listened to music for, you know, generations to come. I decided it was better to split those, but 10 years ago is the first time the orchestra ever played the Rite of Spring, and it requires a huge orchestra with all sorts of specialized instruments, and it's just a very different, the way it's counted and conducted and everything is very complex. So it was a great watershed moment for the orchestra. So I wanted to bring that back, and I put it alongside, on the one hand, a lot of Latin American music. We've got music by Revueltas. It's a piece called Senza Maya, a chant to kill a snake. It was based on a on a poem, and it's one. Bernstein called it the Mexican Rite of Spring, and in a very tuneful piece by Chavez, his Second Symphony. And we're going to try to include with our cello section featuring a Villalobos piece, which is a very famous Bacchianus Brasieris. Alongside, we have our Young Artist Competition, where we typically have four winners, two junior winners, and two senior winners. Two of them will play on that concert, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, we're very fortunate in Howard County that there are a lot of great music teachers here working and working with kids, and the kids are very disciplined to the point where by the time they're playing, winning a competition like this, they sound like so many adults that you've heard.
So that was the list I found you on your website. Are there any other events you're considering that just haven't been announced yet?
Yes, it's recently been added to our website and is in our brochure. We have a three-concert chamber music series that I'm particularly proud of this year, because we've kind of seen what the individual players would bring to the table and sort of put it together ad hoc. This year, we've really curated some very specially balanced concerts to involve a lot of the different sections of the orchestra and to have some really hip pieces. So there again, we're doing some really traditional favorites, like, you know, Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor, which is very famous, you know, from Disney and everything else, alongside with some really modern classics, like a string quartet called Elvis Is Everywhere for string quartet and three pre-recorded Elvis impersonators, you know. So it's a great mix, and I would really urge people to check it out, because it's free and it's a great way to hear chamber music up close. It's a really intimate setting. And we do have our partners with the Columbia Jazz Band. I think Fred Hughes is going to come and talk about their season, so you can find all of their events on their website. They're a really great group, and they're doing some bigger concerts, a Veterans Day concert, and some specifically themed concerts. And we do some things behind the scenes. We're going to be playing the score to Buster Keaton's The General at AFI in Silver Spring, and that's really phenomenal. We do, we have the kids, third grade Howard County students, are bused into Jim Rouse Theater on a Wednesday morning, or Tuesday morning, I guess, and we have a program that's specifically tailored to the curriculum for third grade students. So, you know, it's a lot of great stuff going on just beside our regular subscription series.
All right, then. So I'll have two questions for you. One is just, where can listeners go to learn more about the Columbia Orchestra? And the final question I'll ask you is, since this season's all about your 20 years, of your 20 years, what has been your all-time favorite memory?
Oh, all-time favorite memory. Wow. I guess to start with that one, you know, it's hard to pick one. You know, we were talking the other night about when I auditioned. So when you hire a conductor, it's one thing if you hire a cello player, because you have 20 cello players, they all play the same pieces and you can compare, you know, what they sound like, and does that one sound like what this kind of section you want? Did that person miss more notes or miss a lot of notes or whatever? For a conductor it's very different, because the conductor doesn't make any sounds. But there were three finalists when I auditioned, and when I had my audition, just from the very first note, a lot of players have said to me, and they were talking about it, we had an event the other day, it did sound different and it felt different from the very first beat. And so actually that inaugural moment was really fun. It was felt like it was a really good match. Sometimes you have a really great orchestra and a really great conductor, but they don't gel at all. And this felt like a really great match. And so if you want to hear us and learn more about us, we have a great website. It's columbiaorchestra.org. And that will get you not only to our events, but also the events of our partner organization, the Jazz Band. And you can also call us at 410-465-8777 to get on our postal mailing list.
For over 40 years, the Columbia Orchestra has been on a mission to inspire an appreciation of enthusiasm for and participation in music from the Howard County community. Soon starting its 41st year, the orchestra is offering a number of live and musical events of the highest quality. I have been talking today with the conductor of the Columbia Orchestra in his 20th year, Jason Love, to go into more detail about everything the orchestra does. Mr. Love, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Always glad to have you.
And that's it for our show today. Thanks to Alex and all our guests this month for giving us opportunities to celebrate those who inspire us to help out and for bringing great music to our lives. And thank you for listening to our show. Don't forget to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are Dragon Digital Radio. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast page at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com and share our content with your friends and family. If you'd like to be part of our show or you have comments and ideas, contact me at moviedo@howardcc.edu or you can find me on Facebook as Cris Oviedo. Howard County is truly a great place to live. Let's all do our part in keeping it that way. Until next month, I am Cris Oviedo.